Blog Talk Radio.
When can my heart beat again? When does the pain never end? And when do the tears stop running over? When does you get old and begin? I hear what you're saying, but I swear that's not making sense. So when can I see you? When can I see you again? When can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? When can I breathe once again? And when can I see you? When does my Sunday begin? Where I'll find someone again? And what if I still am not truly over? What am I supposed to do then? You see what I'm saying? Leaving me here is not breaking sense. So when can I see you? When can I see you again? When can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? And when can I breathe once again? And when can I see you again?
Computer decided to do its configurations and completely shut down, and it just popped up again, and I'm trying to see if it's going to send me back to where I was, which I doubt. On my Blog Talk Radio, I don't know. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, okay, I guess I've been ignoring the updates, so it decided to update itself on its own, I guess. Anyway, I'm hoping everyone had a great Easter weekend. The kids been out of school all week, so, you know, they've probably truly enjoyed themselves. And I'm hoping you guys enjoyed your family and friends, you know, coming around and, you know, and then just enjoying yourselves with, you know, every holiday seems to bring something new. And I'm hoping, excuse me, really, I'm sorry, you guys. It's just my dog talking. I can't believe all this is happening all at one time.
Samantha, shh. Be quiet.
I'm sorry, you guys. Anyway, she hears our next-door neighbors talking, and every time she hears somebody talk, she starts to bark like somebody crazy. I'm sorry.
Samantha.
Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. Let's see if I can get myself back on track here. I apologize truly from my heart. Okay, let's see if this is it. Okay, here we go. Okay, I guess I'm back now. Okay, like I said, I'm hoping everyone had a great Easter, and I hope you had an opportunity to hang out with family and friends and have a good time together. The kids were out of school all week, so you know you're probably preparing yourself. I think it's so funny that spring break is right before the kids actually get out of school. Here, I think the kids get out on May 30th, I think. Some get out in June. But it's amazing how they get one whole week off prior to them actually going to be off for another two months. So you're getting your taste of the kids being out on that 1 week that's going to follow, previous to the 2 months you're going to be they're going to be out, two or 2.5 months or whatever, that they're going to be out of school for the summer. So you know what to expect. Now, as you know, I don't know if any of you guys are familiar or have I said anything about it. If you look at my Facebook page, I have been mentioning it. I also have a radio show called Listening to Your Silence. It is on 80.1 KYT. And I come on every Saturday at 4 o'clock, which is so interesting. I have such a good time. I don't take phone calls like I take on my show here. I am going to start. It's just like something I'm just trying to ease myself into because it's fun on here, but it seems like it's different there because I'm actually in a real radio studio and I'm actually, you know, I'm live on real. I mean, to me, this is real, but it's more real that way, I guess I can say. I don't know. And I have to catch myself with some of the things. Because here I can say what I want. On there, you have to be very careful because it is a gospel channel. But in the afternoons, they kind of come down and allow you to do your own thing. And basically, I've been basically kind of, I guess they'll say, it's kind of ripping the African-American woman in half. In a sense, not to discourage her, but encourage her. But first, I always tell them we have to get to the dirt before we can get to the flowers. So we have to dig out the dirt first, and the dirt is the way that we feel about ourselves and how we treat each other. So I've been talking about that on my show. I've been busy with that, and then also my new job that I have, I've been kind of getting that off the ground, trying to make sure I have everything in place. I'm like the executive director, one of the executive directors of a family life center that with our church. And I work every day, which is kind of different from what I did when I was at the VA hospital, because that's where I used to work previous to that. And it's just a little bit different from what I used to do. And my job is to promote. My job is to make sure that I'm bringing some type of activity in there all the time. So it's kind of hard with some people because these people here are a different type of people. And they don't always go by what their own instinct is. They go by what other people say. And I mean, it's like a follower type thing. If you say the moon is red and they really like you, then they believe the moon is red. If they don't like you, they're not going to believe you, and no matter what you do, you're not going to convince them. And that's what I've learned, and I'm trying to keep my mindset on this with them here. So it's kind of slow to get them to, you know, get used to me, I guess, I don't know, or my way of doing things, because I try to be as business as I can, business-like as I can. And I'm very serious and passionate about what I do. We're in the process of trying to get a summer camp going, a summer day camp. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of convincing. It's a lot of getting people ready. And it's a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of work to do. And I have within 30 days as of Sunday to have it done, because we open up June 1st for that. So, I'm sorry, you guys. Okay. And it's kind of scary, because I don't know what to expect, and they don't know what to expect. So we're just playing everything by ear. That's basically what's been going on with me. Other than that, I mean, I had a great Easter, and I know, like I said before, you guys had. I spent time with my sister, you know. Well, we know Mother's Day is coming up. And what I thought would be very interesting is, and it's probably something I'll do on my other show too, is to talk about mothers and the roles that we play in our children's life. And what type of mother are we? You know, are you a mother? Are you the type of mother that your daughters would like to be to their children? I mean, like I always tell anybody, your child is a reflection of you. So if you are a good mother and you ask your child who's their role model is and they say you, then you know you've done a good job. But if you're a mother that, how do you say that? I'm not going to say you're not a good mother, but a mother who hasn't learned how to do a lot of things that other mothers have taken time out to learn. You have a lot of young mothers that really don't have role models to follow behind or pattern after. So what type of mother are you? If I was a young mother and I didn't know any better, would I be able to could you show me the ropes? You know, that's a question. We'd have to ask ourselves, could you truly show me the ropes? I think about women of our history. I think about our women, all the things that our women have been through. And the things our women are still going through. And I ask myself, would I follow those type of women? Or would I do things differently? I'm going to name some females or some women off that you think would have been role models for you. I'm going to start with Shirley Chisholm. Okay. She was the first African-American woman elected to the U.S. Congress. Shirley Anita St. Hill was born in Brooklyn, New York. After being a teacher and serving as a New York State Assemblywoman, Chisholm was elected as a Democrat to the House of Representatives. She served in Congress for 7 terms, from January 3rd of 1969 until January 3rd of 1983. In 1972, Chisholm was the first African-American woman to run for a major party presidential nomination. During her long political career, she fought for the rights of women and minorities. Okay, would you, I mean, that's one. Sarah S. Good, Sarah E. Good, excuse me, was a businesswoman and an inventor. Good invented the folding cabinet bed, a space saver that folded up against the wall into a cabinet. When folded up, it could be used as a desk, complete with compartments for stationery and writing supplies. Good owned a furniture store in Chicago, Illinois, and invented the bed for people living in small apartments. Good patent was the first one obtained by an African-American woman inventor and approved on July 9th, excuse me, July 14th, 1885. I didn't know that. All right. You think she's a good role model. Maycee Jemison was the first African-American woman in space. Dr. Jemison is a medical doctor and a surgeon with engineering experience. She flew on the space shuttle Endeavour as a mission specialist. The mission lifted off on September 12, 1992, and landed September 20th. Okay. Let's talk about Barbara Jordan. Barbara Jordan was the first black U.S. congresswoman from Deep South. She served Texas for 6 years in U.S. House of Representatives. Jordan was a powerful orator who fought for civil rights and the rights of the poor. Okay. We all know about Rosa Parks. We know about Sojourner Truth. We know about Harriet Tubman. We know who Madam C. Walker is. She's the one who, she was an inventor, self-made millionaire. Sarah Breedlove McWilliams Walker was an African-American who developed many beauty and hair care products that were extremely popular. Madam Walker started her cosmetic business in 1905. Her first product was a scalp treatment that used petroleum and sulfur. She added Madam to her name and began selling her new Walker system door-to-door. Walker soon added a new cosmetic products to her line. The products were successful, and she soon had many saleswomen called Walker agents who sold her products door-to-door and to beauty salons. Now, I think about Mary Kay. And I think about Avon. I think mainly about Mary Kay. Okay, did you hear what this lady named her saleswomen? Walker agents. I think it's the same thing as Mary Kay. She was the first. We might not want to admit it, but she was the first. These are the people I'm talking about, to me, were role models. Now, just imagine what the women went through to make sure her product got out there. You see, those are the things that make me think of us as African-American women who are survivors. That's what I inspired myself behind. That's what makes me keep getting up every morning and keep struggling on to the next day and to the next day. You know, that's what I do. I mean, that's what keeps me motivated to know that if they could do it in the times, the hard times that they went through, I could do the same thing. You know, so those are the women that I want to say that would inspire me to do, you know, to do something. So as far as role models, those are role models. Now, if I'm the type of mother that I'm not doing the things that I need to do, to maintain my children, to make sure everything is done in my household. And it gets overwhelming, believe me. And I know a lot of you out there are doing the best you can, and you don't know how to do anything else. But the mothers that are out there that are young, that are irresponsible, I'm going to break it down to you. I am. And if you listen to my show, I'll probably say some of the similar things on my show tomorrow evening. The irresponsible mothers, the mothers who don't care, the mothers who keep dropping off babies, you know, to the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the uncles and aunties and you know, those type, and the great-grandmothers, because you got some parents, I mean, some children that are raising, some great-grandmothers that are raising the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I got a problem with them. I'm sorry. I got a problem with that. Okay, if you can lay down and have those babies, you can be responsible enough. Everybody is not a mother. And I said this before, a lot of you guys who are mothers and who are not the nice kind of mothers, I can't say the right kind of mothers because none of us know how to be the right kind of mother. We do the best we can with what we have. But the nice kind of mothers, you out there who's doing your thing and hanging in the clubs and looking for baby daddies and all that drama and keeping up all that mess and acting a fool in the streets in front of your children, you, if your children had an opportunity to choose their parents, I promise you, you would have not gotten chose. I promise you, they would have not chose you, okay? Because those kids deserve better. All I'm saying is I want you guys to realize what you're doing and how it affects the child. You have to realize that what you do definitely affects the child. So I say to you, are you a good role model? Will your daughter walk up to you and say, Mom, you know what? I love you, and I want to be just like you. Would she do that? You tell me. Okay? You tell me if your mother, if your child would come to you, would have that attitude. Now, while you're thinking on that, I want to play you something. Just a second here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, that was a little Brenda Russell with Piano in the Dark.
Brenda Russell was Piano in the Dark, and Angel of Mine was by Monica. Just thought maybe I'd play y'all a little bit of something. Okay, back to our subject of role models and mothers. Think about it, mothers. Are you a great role model to your children? Think about that. Do your children want to fall in your footsteps? Do they think you're interesting enough? Do they watch everything you do? Do they want to see, you know, watch your life and what you've been through to follow behind you? I will say this. My son used to say that I was a good role model to him because of my survival instincts in spite of everything that I've gone through. He said, Mom, I want to be like you when it comes to stuff like that, because you always know how to go through something and you always come out no matter what. You don't keep laying down. You get up and you shake it off and you make things happen. So that made me feel good. He also used to say, Mom, because of your stubbornness is what keeps you going, is because of the way you are. You sometimes can be very stubborn, and it helps you to keep moving on because you're determined to make stuff happen in your life. In any way that you can help other people, you do it. Why you're going through whatever it is you're going through. Sometimes you don't need to let everybody else know what you're going through. You know, sometimes you have to go through some stuff and nobody don't need to know that you're going through it. So he says, Mom, you have that. And that's a good thing. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to read you something if I can say this. This young lady wrote this about her mom. She called it My Mother, My Role Model. My mom, Regalia Montesroso Bayon, was born in 1914. She gave birth to me when she was 39, and we lived in a close proximity until I was 45 when I left for the U.S. My mom was in her mid-20s during the Second World War, and I can't imagine what she had to go through, married to my father, who was a military officer. But I was born 10 years after the war, and by then my parents had healed from the ravages and started a new life for our small family. Now that I'm in my mid-40s, I can't stop thinking that when my mom was my age, she was just beginning to make sandwiches and lunch bags for me and my little brother. When my mom was my age, I, a toddler, was just beginning to notice we had a mother who took care of our family. Now that I'm in my mid-40s, I can't stop thinking that all the lessons my mom taught me, she taught me by example, and she started when she was my age. The thought gives me a lot of inspiration. To my eyes, my mom only started to exist when she was in her middle age. So now that I'm in my own midlife, I can, in fact, be like my mom and just now start to exist. Isn't that a radically inspirational thought? But now that I do think about it, I look back at what my mom did teach me by example. Here are some of the lessons I clearly remember. Stay young. My mom never had a concept about growing old, even when she was already in her mid-70s and her grandson, by me approaching teenage, she would ask me seriously, why do strangers call me grandma? Do I really look like a grandma? I don't feel like a grandma. I still feel the same way I felt when I was in my 20s. That's one thing I will always remember with my mom. She never felt old. She'd garden and entertain and cook and start projects like she'd lived forever. She slowed down a bit when my father died and her eyesight started to fail. But until then, she wouldn't believe how old the calendar said she was. Create. My mom passed down creativity to my brother and me, like she contaminated us with a virus. I thought only my brother was born with it because he drew pictures as soon as he could hold a pencil. I realized that my creativity needed a little guidance from my mom. She taught me, all the crafts a proper woman of the house should know. By the time I was 13, she was motivating me to cut patterns and sew my own party clothes. Together, we worked on many crochet and embroidery projects. Throughout my teens, she made me kitchen assistant as we baked cookies and puddings, molded sugar flowers, spread icing on triple layer cakes, whipped ice cream, and boiled jars of our mango marmalades. I enjoyed learning as much as she enjoyed teaching. And there was always something to do at home, creativity-wise. My mom made sure we always had crayons, paints, craft papers, scissors, and glue, and workbooks to explore. She constantly encouraged my brother and me to make something and to keep trying whatever it was we felt like making. And she encouraged us with some projects of our own, especially at Christmas time. The next one is love nature. I love nature, and I know why. My parents taught me to respect life. My mom loved her garden. She grew orchids and ornamentals, shaped exotic bonsai, and landscaped relentlessly. Everyone adored her garden. She could make anything grow. At one time or another, she was also raising cats, pigs, chickens, ducks, rabbits, and tropical fish. It was just a natural thing for her. I remember one night when she came in sobbing after she discovered that a big rat had managed to enter the chick's coop and killed half the brood. She was devastated. I probably inherited a love for nature from my mom, but only by her example could I have learned how precious life, a life, any life, is and will always be. Be strong by discipline. I think the biggest lesson my mom taught me was discipline, along with a core set of religious beliefs, values, and morals, plus a healthy dose of positive attitudes. Discipline rounded out the role model that was my mom. She was a strong woman who can set her mind on something and do everything to follow through, but she maintained a sense of fairness and a kindness that she extended by trying to be in other people's shoes. I witnessed many trials and challenges that my mother accepted and dealt with as only a strong, disciplined woman could. Despite the hardships, she kept going. She was never desperate nor depressed because she always knew that if she tried her best, everything else that followed were for the best. This was how she survived breast cancer, by following a regimen that only a truly disciplined individual could sustain. My mom survived just as she survived the trauma of her own mother's death when she was only 12, just as she survived near starvation during the war, the sleepless nights when my father fell ill, and the heartache when her siblings exchanged bitter words. To me, my mom will always be a survivor. She moved to another level of existence 6 days ago. She was 86. But she continues to be alive in my heart and in my memories. My mom was and will always be the survivor that I will live on to be. I remember her fondly and thank her for being my beloved mother on this year's Mother's Day. Okay. I think that was a beautiful story. She named four characteristics her mother left her with. She said, stay young,
create, love nature, and be strong by discipline. I think those were awesome. It kind of went back on to what the things that I was saying about myself, about how my son felt about me. I think that was great. Let's see what this one says. Very, very interesting. Okay, someone, these are like, I guess, essays. And it says, my mother, my role model. The person who has been the role model in my life is my mother. She has been my teacher, counselor, role model, and friend for most of my life. For me, she is a source of motivation and a reminder of what true love really means. My mother gave up the family she knew in Haiti to come to America to make a better life for my brother and me. She always teaches the importance of good education. She does almost anything to help when it came to education, although she does not have... Excuse me, I'm sorry, you guys. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. I apologize on that one. Okay, let's see this one. Okay. Oh, here's another one right here. Let's see. I've always believed God places certain people in your life at certain times. I've been blessed with a great number of influential people throughout my life, from high school friends who let me be myself to mentors who have helped me make the most of myself. Throughout there has been one person who has always been in my life, my mother. Without insufficiently stating her impact and influence on the person I am and aspire to become, I must say my mother is the role model is the best role model I've ever had. Okay, the only role model I've ever had. I'm sorry, you guys, I can't see good tonight. Oftentimes, black youth, or for that matter, any youth in disadvantaged or low-income environments lack true role models. Instead, these children and young adults idolize professional athletes, entertainers, and musicians. Not to denigrate these individuals and their contributions in the community, particularly in black and inner city communities, but I was blessed with a truly one-of-a-kind role model in my own home and my life each and every day. My mother was always there to make sure her three boys would grow to become three successful men. As the youngest of that trio, I am proud to let her know I wholeheartedly believe she couldn't have done a better job. And this is not to say she is the only single mother of three boys, especially, nor is this the only woman to raise herself and her family out of welfare. However, my mother is the only mother I've ever had and has doubled as the most dedicated and hardworking person I have ever known. You guys, oh Lord, have mercy. Whew. Okay, let's see. Okay, give me a second here, you guys. I'm trying to find out where I left off. Okay, I bring this up not to profile my mother, the setbacks she overcame and the feats she accomplished, but more so to share the great many lessons she taught me. Among them are prioritizing, patience, and planning. Above all, these three P's are the most important lessons my mother shared with me. By priorities, I'm referring to the ability to set them and follow through with them. The significance of this life lesson cannot be understated. While my father was absent and halfway across the country doing God knows what, my mother made sure my brothers and I were being provided for. She went on the occasional date, had fun, and made sure to spend time with friends. But mostly my mom was either working overtime, putting a meal on the dinner table, or shopping for bargains at the local Goodwill or Kmart. From this, I learned that only through efficient and careful prioritizing can one achieve. I keep missing my place. I'm sorry. One cannot achieve anything without great amount of patience. Thankfully, again, I learned from the best. For nearly 25 years, my mother strived to purchase her own home. She went from minimum wage to her current salary, all the while with the same goal in mind. As many single mothers can attest to, she spent many of those years repairing credit mishaps of younger years past and getting income instability. Still, many more of those years were spent waiting, being patient. Finally, at the youthful age of 45, the mother of three adult sons has accomplished her greatest feat. She became a homeowner. Following the footsteps of my mother, I have learned the importance of being patient. Just recently, I contemplated a move back to Austin after just 12 months away before convincing myself to stay put in D.C., where perhaps bigger things await if I only wait and find out. So here I am, being patient. Will I be awarded for my patience? So far, all evidence points to yes. However, all the prioritizing and patience in the world can't offset no or insufficient planning. More times than I care to remember, I've seen capable members of the Black community fail because of poor planning. The ambitious drive and the talent may all be there, but the planning is weak. Where Tiger Woods had his father, Earl, to help him master his skills and reach his lofty goals, many other young men in the Black community live without fathers to usher them from ambition to accomplishment. And many young Black women lack the know-how to avoid the social ills that force them into the all-too-familiar positions as child bearers instead of college students. I, too, missed many of the lessons and comforts availed to those with fathers, but my mother never let me think I'd achieve anything without planning. Okay. All right, this was written by Joe. I can't remember what this guy's name. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just wanted to read you what other people thought of their mothers as being their role models, because as I said before, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. You guys, I don't want you guys to feel like I'm running out of things to talk about. I have plenty of things to talk about. I just have lacked in the process of getting things prepared like I used to. I don't know if I'm falling out of love with this or I'm needing to do some more research and practice more. I apologize for my fumbling and not knowing what I'm doing lately. I really do, you guys. It's just a lot of hard work is put into what I'm doing here, and I just haven't been myself lately with it. And it has to get better, I know. I'm more excited, I guess, because my mind has gone toward the live radio show, which is 88.1, opposed to talking on the computer, but I'm more comfortable doing this because it's fun. I just haven't been prepared, and I haven't talked to any guests to come on my show lately either. So I'm falling, I'm slacking, and I need some motivation to keep doing this. And I was looking at my numbers, you guys. I am so proud of my numbers and how many times you guys listened to my show. I want to say thank you, guys. It's just amazing. It's lovely. So I guess I can't give it up yet. It's not time for me to give it up yet. Even though I want to, I'll hold on a little bit longer. What I'm going to do now is I am going to break off a little bit earlier. It's 8:50, so I'm going to cut 10 minutes off my show tonight. But I don't want to leave you guys with some good music, because you know I love playing my music. So what I'm going to do is
leave you with some music.
My life makes me think of fine. Now you come and tell me that you're really for me, and that to be in my life again. Oh, so the end in me begins to start love over. Oh, no love making will never heal tonight. Oh, oh, don't come crying on my shoulder. You have thought about the consequences then. You and my best friend, my core. So bad, I had never surrendered to live, but just too young to die. See, I had my heart broken before, but never like I admit it left the feeling go down the love.
Okay. I want to again, if I don't come back on next Thursday, which I'm hoping I will, with God's help, I'll be back next Thursday. You guys, I'm going to say goodnight to all my Blog Talk listeners. I'm hoping that this feeling that I have gets a little bit better as I go on. I have to prepare myself more. I haven't been preparing myself at all. I really, truthfully will say the truth. I haven't. So I'm going to make sure my next show, which is next Thursday, that my show will be in better format and better put together, and I pay attention to what I want to talk about. I want to say thank you, guys. Keep listening. It's going to get better. I love you. And I want to say good night to all my Blog Talk listeners. Good night.